Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
It is a celebration. I know that you're expecting to see Pastor Charles here. Just be in prayer for him. He's just not doing well. He would have loved to be in here, but he's fallen ill. So just be in prayer for him. Don't flood him with messages. It's fine. There are people caring for him. But just be in prayer for Pastor Charles. And so the task has just fallen to me this morning, as we celebrate this 40 years here. So I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 to 9. Very known passage of Scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9. In. Are you there? Amen or have mercy? Amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Lord, please speak to your people this morning. I ask you that you will help me, use me, strengthen me, but that only that which you want to say may be spoken out of my mouth. Lord, may you strengthen us, help us to hear what you are saying to us. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Arcadia has reached a milestone. It is amazing to see photos, 40 years of celebration of God's work here in this campus. And it feels like an era has passed, you know. I was talking to someone on Friday, and we were wondering how many marriages have come out of Central. We have many, even in here. Hey, You welcome Venturas, you know? and other marriages, and many children have come out of that, and many salvation testimonies and baptisms of what God has done in this campus. But even as Pastor Charles was sharing yesterday at our celebration, I don't know about you, but I got really excited for next year. For what is to come, for the time of prayer, studying the book of Revelation together, and the theme of building and discipleship. And so it almost seems like we are entering in a new era, in a new page. I wouldn't be able to be standing here preaching without a tie many years ago. Things have changed a little bit. But there is, seems like we have come to this milestone, and we now go into, in a sense, a new page, a new time. And in a sense, this is what's happening here with the people of Israel. They have been with Moses for a long time, and there is this event that happens, Moses dies. And we come to Joshua chapter 1, and it is, in a sense, a new beginning. What God is now charging to Joshua. And if you read this little text that we read, you will see the common theme appearing of be strong and courageous. In fact, that formula of strong and courageous appears a number of times in the Old Testament. Be strong and courageous. But I want to start by asking the question, why courage? Why courage? Well, if we look at the context, Joshua had lots of reasons to be fearful. He had lots of reasons to be afraid. So let me mention a few. If you remember, Moses had sent him and Caleb with another spies to look into the promised land. You know, is this viable? They're going to go check out the land. And although Caleb and Joshua come back and they were the only two with good reports, the other reports were, look, yes, there is milk and honey, but there are some giants there. The people are stronger than us. We're not going to overtake them. And though Joshua, he did give a good report about trusting the Lord, I wonder, sometimes maybe he's going to sleep and he's thinking, yo, but those were giants, those were big. Are we really? There was a reason. Those people look strong, you know? That is the reason. How is the battle going to go down? What is the conquering going to look like? Those are true reasons to be afraid. Another reason maybe to be fearful was Joshua had seen firsthand how tough the people of Israel was to lead. He was Moses' right-hand man. And those people of Israel were not a nice bunch of people. They were stiff-necked. If you read from Exodus to Deuteronomy, the amount of times that the people of Israel moaned, and like, no, send us back to slavery. We were better in Egypt. And then now they're hungry. No, give us food. Here's some manna. No, we got tired of manna. Give us something else. Constantly complaining and rebelling. Raising up a golden calf and worshiping and saying, he brought us out of Egypt. This, all of this nonsense that the people of Israel did, Joshua had seen firsthand how difficult it was. That's a reason to be afraid. Maybe another reason for Joshua to be afraid was actually dealing with God. If you remember, God's relationship with Moses was quite unique. God spoke to Moses and God did amazing things and gave him the law. If you remember, there was a time where God comes down to the mountain and the people of Israel are terrified and say, no, we don't want to deal with God. Moses, it's fine. You deal with God. We'll listen to you. I don't want to deal with this part of God. This could be very scary. Another reason to fear is, well, Joshua had some really, really big shoes to fill. I mean, we're talking about Moses here. Moses, who spoke with God face to face. In fact, Joshua most likely wrote the following. This is at the end of Deuteronomy. And it said, "And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Imagine filling up those shoes. And maybe the fear of the unknown. What is going to happen? Moses died. Are we going to be able to go into this promised land or not? Lots of people have died in the journey. In fact, only him and Caleb, who were from the original Egypt, that made it. What is going to happen? What is the new page going to look like? When there's an unknown future, something drastic happens and you feel afraid. What is going to happen? I remember my first call from Rosetta New Baptist, and then a church in Port Elizabeth was considering us to be a youth pastor. And I remember telling Melissa, "Babe, there's this church. They're considering us to go there to PE. And please, let's pray." She's like, "I'm not going to pray." "You can pray. I'm not going to pray. I have no friends there. I don't know anyone. I don't know if you're going to get a job for myself there. I don't know how it's going to go down. I'm not going to pray. You can pray if you want." In fact, one of the reasons I know God was leading me was that God changed her heart and she came back and said, "Yes, okay, love. God, it's fine. We can go." But it is that fear of what is going to happen. The fear of the unknown. What is coming next? Joshua had many possible reasons to be afraid. How will he succeed? So today I want us to look at God's charge to Joshua that will address both his possible fear and how to do well in the next page, in this next milestone. So I've entitled my sermon, "Courage for the Next 40 Years." So the first thing I want us to see is this: move on the basis of his word. Move on the basis of his word. Look at verse 2, 3, and 6. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." And then in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them." So the first thing that we see in terms of God charging Joshua is this: arise and go. Move. Don't stay stuck. Move. Don't be afraid. Act. Arise. Go. Don't stay put. Go. Move. Even for us, let's keep moving. Let us keep moving. But this command of move and arise and go, it is not in isolation. It is based on something. It is based on God's promise to the people of Israel. He had promised the people of Israel that they were going to get Canaan. In Deuteronomy 11:24, he had promised. And so they weren't going to go and conquer just on the basis of pure military experience or a strategy or strength of the will. It was because God had promised to them that they could go, that they could act. I mean, this verse gets used out of context so many times. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, it will be given to you. People will be stepping on mansions and, hey, this is mine now. I've conquered it. I'm claiming it. No. Even from the promise made in Deuteronomy 11:24, actually God demarcates. We see that in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river of Euphrates, there was already a place allocated. It wasn't wherever they step, you know, it's free flow, let's just conquer everything. It was on the basis of God's promise, of God's word to Israel, that Joshua was to act. And sometimes we actually forget that God has spoken. God has spoken in His word. And we don't have to be second-guessing sometimes, like, should I really do discipleship? Should I really proclaim the gospel? God has spoken. Act. Move. On the basis of what He has declared. Move on the basis of His word. We sometimes act as if He hasn't made it clear what we ought to do. So this is the encouragement, the first encouragement to be strong and courageous. God has spoken, God had promised, and so Joshua, stand up, go and lead these people into the land that God has promised. And so for us, Central, let us move on the basis of God's word. Let us not get stuck. Let us not keep stuck and just trying to maybe reinvent the wheel or human strategies. No. We move forward on the basis of what God has said. Secondly, hold on to His word. Verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God was very clear to Joshua. He said, you know, the words that I have spoken, and, you know, the law given to you, listen to it, obey it, don't move a little bit to the right, don't move a little bit to the left, then you will have good success. Stick to the Word of God. Central Baptist, stick to the Word of God. And isn't this so relevant for us today? And let me tell you something, this is not a guarantee. It is easier than you think to not stick to the Word of God. We have constant pressures, societal pressures, and sometimes even from within, maybe to become more and more pragmatic. I was listening this week, and Dr. Albert Mohler was talking about is a theory called the spiral of silence. And basically, this author mentions that what happens sometimes is because no one says anything, the silence becomes almost deeper and more people become more afraid of saying anything. And the example used was in Nazi Germany. There was, it seemed like a bunch of Germans that weren't really too keen on what Hitler was saying, but it was almost as if the silence got bigger and bigger because nobody said anything, and the pressure of society on saying this is wrong just overtook any kind of courage. And the thing is, we, the church, is constantly bombarded to leave the Word of God, to go a little bit to the right or to the left. Right now, for example, the government is discussing a new bill, the marriage bill, that redefines marriage. See, there is a pressure to you to say, oh, you don't really have to be that strict on defining a marriage, just being between a man and a woman. I mean, how old are your ideas? Now we are in the 21st century. Even heard this one famous pastor from Brazil that was very influential in an interview. He just said, yeah, I did. I used to walk back from saying that the Bible needs to be updated. But the reality is, it needs to be updated. It's a 4,000-year-old document. It's nonsense. God has spoken and His words are eternal. And so, as we are constantly going to be bombarded with different ideas, different fads, and Pastor Charles has mentioned over the years of how often this church has been kind of almost tried to be pulled on different fads. You know, the social gospel, social justice gospel, and we had the gold dust of the charismatic thing. And all of this trying to pull away. Stick to the Word of God. Central Baptist, preach the gospel in season and out of season. Hold your pastors and elders accountable. Is the Word of God being preached? Are we meditating on it day and night? Is it as God said to Joshua, don't let it depart from your mouth? What is ironic is that churches and denominations that kind of compromise on the scriptures to want to be more inclusive, what happens is they lose all relevance, because then they will say, well, you look just like us. And then those churches actually just die. They are in decline because they've lost all relevance on being light. They just as the darkness. I want to make the case that, and it is basically what Colin was speaking under. Colin was stealing my thunder today. But it is because this church has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ that is still here after 130 years. The reason we're still here is because of this message, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, paying for our penalty, rose again on the third day and offers forgiveness and eternal life for all who repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. It is because of that great message being preached faithfully for 130 years and for 40 years here that we are still here. God has saved people from age to age because the gospel has been preached. Let us not depart from this word. If we do, we won't be celebrating another 40 years. God said it very clear to Joshua. Stick to it and you'll have good success. Don't depart from it and you'll have success. Lastly, remember His presence. Verse 5, verse 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Sometimes just a presence is empowering. I was sharing at the hill this morning. I was looking for an analogy, illustration for this point. And my son, my four-year-old, came to mind. When he first started potty training, and he was doing well and ready, but then he would come to me and say, "Daddy, Daddy, I need to wee." So I was like, "Go then." He's like, no, you need to come with me. You need to come with me." So I would go with him, not doing anything, not holding his hand, not helping him in any way. He did all of his business, all of himself. It was just my presence that empowered him, if I can put it that way. In a very flawed analogy manner. It is God's presence that empowered the people of Israel, that was to empower Joshua. See, Joshua was, he knew that the success of Israel was dependent on God being with him. Listen to this. In Numbers 14, this is after Joshua and Caleb and the rest of the spies give their report back. And this is what Joshua says. Listen carefully. "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." See, this word The Lord is with us. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but Joshua was very much aware that the complete success of their mission in conquering the promised land was on God being with them. Unless God was with them, it wasn't going to happen. The reason they shouldn't fear these big people, these giants, and these strong people was because this mighty God was with them. The Lord is with us. Don't fear them. So this promise that God gives to Joshua is really, really amazing. I will be with you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord is with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want to make two applications here, one individual and one corporate. And Daniel actually preached a couple of weeks ago on this and all in the evening. So it is true that God is with us. Right now, we can absolutely know that He is with us. Well, how do we figure so? Well, we know theologically that the Holy Spirit dwells in the lives of believers. And so as you come here, you have the Spirit of God in you. And even as we get together, God is here. God is with us. So there is that reality. But there is also a reality, a personal, experiential reality of His presence. There's a manifestation or an awareness of His presence that we can't make it up, we can't fabricate, but that it is undeniable. And it doesn't happen always. There are times it can be while the preaching is happening, maybe during a prayer, or maybe during a song, where there is this tangible sense that God is here with us. And that can happen both corporately or even in your room. You're praying, and all of a sudden, God comes and He grabs hold of you, and the tears roll down, and you feel powerless because His presence is there with you. And as we move forward, as we keep moving forward for the next 40 years, let us be aware of His presence, seeking His face. Now, we cannot humanly fabricate that. And it's not that we're looking for a feeling. That can be dangerous. There are churches that try to manipulate in such a way that, as there's a joke in the worship team, so that the portal opens. No, you can't fabricate. God says in John that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it blows to. But there's a quote from A.W. Tozer that reminds and it really makes me think and offer ponder. And is this: if God was to remove His Spirit from the church today, would we notice it? So what I am asking for us is to have a mindset of dependence of His presence. He is with us. He is with us. I want to hear this very clear. But I pray that the Lord will help us to seek His face in such a way that we can experience and see, yes, the Lord is leading us. It was so encouraging yesterday hearing the different testimonies and how God has led this church in different decisions and many threats and different things, and God leading His people. Be courageous and strong. Be aware of His presence. Seek His face. So conclude. You may think, does this apply to me, Isaac? This was God speaking to Joshua. Aren't you doing eisegesis here? No. Hope not. No. In the New Testament, God does give us the same elements. And Paul says to Timothy that God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but gave us power, love, and self-discipline. Philippians 4:14, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. The Great Commission says, Jesus, I am with you to the end of the ages. All these elements are also commanded in the New Testament. So you don't have to be afraid that, you know, it changed from being strong and courageous to be shy and coward in the New Testament. That didn't happen. May the Lord help us as we go into this next page, in the next 4 years, to move in accordance to His word, to stick to His word, to remember His presence. God has much more for Central Baptist Church. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for what You have done for many, many years. And we thank You that You have preserved this body, and that You promise that You will continue to preserve us. So let us, help us to remain, hold on to Your promises, hold on to Your word, O God. We pray that You will help us to be dependent on You leading us. May our eyes be fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So continue to grow Central Baptist Church Arcadia, Lord, in the new year with the new building projects, with maybe as a church together here in Arcadia, as we think and pray about planting a church as well, as we focus on discipleship, and as we serve one another, Lord, would You help us to be boldly moving in step with the Spirit and according to Your word. We ask You this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.